Psalm 42:11, David says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Not a person here that doesn't get cast down. It's not a person here that doesn't get disappointed, doesn't get afraid for a moment, that doesn't feel panic about circumstances, a lot of times financial or situations with loved ones, and things aren't going well spiritually for them, or things get out of control, or whatever, or health, all of a sudden you heard a health situation that, you know, scary. You know, doctors today have to give you the worst scenario so they don't get sued right off the bat. I actually think that's almost emotional abuse sometimes, what they tell you, and they know it's only about a 2% chance, but they have to tell you that, so you worry about it for the 3 weeks until you get the test results, you know. So all of those kind of things are real issues in your life. But the question is, why are you cast down? Is God not in control? Does not God have the power to work? Can he not answer prayer? And above all, and here's the essence, ladies, he knows what he's doing or allowing for our sake. Now, here is the big question that you and I sometimes come across. Something bad happens. Where did that come from? Okay. Well, something bad can happen because you live in a cursed world. Did you know bad things happen? Yep. You forget that you have a cabinet there and you wham your head on the cabinet. Bad things happen. Don't blame God for that. Okay. And don't blame the devil for that. That's just us, you know. And we're limited. And, you know, we live in a cursed world. Work is hard. We get weary. Our bodies age. Dying thou shalt die. The Bible made it very clear when sin came into the world. There are a lot of disappointing things. Just don't live on the news, because if you live on the news, you'll just end up being discouraged all the time, because we're seeing the effects of sin all around the world. Or on and on we could go. So sometimes it's just the fact, because we're sinners and we live in a cursed world, bad things happen. God didn't give you cancer. Your body was already predisposed for cancer. Okay. And that's a big deal. I've been through that several times in my family, or whatever the physical condition could be. We so often try to personalize some of these things, but let's just be practical. It's not easy to live in the world today in its cursed condition. That's why heaven will be so wonderful. The new earth is going to be so great. So there's that aspect. And then there is the devil, who at times will cause things to happen to discourage you, to try to knock you off the ground of faith. And he can make things happen that can discourage a lot. Remember in Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, power, and so forth, the different levels of demonic powers. And that's a lot in relationships. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Satan has a lot of leeway, number one, with unsaved people who are spiritually not connected to God, and with fleshly Christians. He can influence them. And that's something we have to understand. You find that throughout the New Testament. So you may get into a tangle with someone, or there may be something that just comes out of the blue. Where did that come from? Well, it might or might not be the devil, but it's possible. So you've got the sin nature of our flesh. We're living a cursed planet, and then Satan's going to do what he can to discourage you and undermine your faith. And now, here's the question: where is God? Now, a lot of times what happens is, when the natural course of things happen, we have a tendency to blame God. Why let that happen? And when Satan does something, we have a tendency to get frustrated. Now, here's the principle that can be taken wrongly or properly. God is in control of everything. That is true. But he lets the principles of life go. If he didn't, we wouldn't die because he wouldn't want us to die. But we made that choice. So unless he comes, before our death comes, we will die. And that's not his fault. That's our fault. Okay. But he's still in control. But he's following his principles. He's following the principles of the reaping of the harvest. The earth is cursed, so there's a lot of pain, a lot of heartache. And then Satan does not control the spiritual kingdom, but he does control the unregenerate kingdom. That's why you see so many awful things going on. And he can influence carnal Christians who are acting like unsaved people. And so God allows that in his perfect economy and government. We have free wills, and he allows Satan to do what he does. And so it is true that he has allowed those things, but that's because he is a God of order, consistency, and according to his word. Then, of course, there can be trials that God himself institutes. Now, I've had some key things happen in my life, and you know, I thought it was Satan, maybe, or whatever. But as I've looked at it, I think maybe God allowed that one, because that was so directly good immediately. You know, that one I could just see God's hand all over. But here's the point. God is not thrown by the curse, by our weakness. He is not thrown by Satan's influence in this world. He takes all things and works them together for good. That's where trust comes in. He is managing your life. He isn't causing bad things. Now, sometimes he will give you trials, but that'll all be obviously for good. But the point is this, and I want you to get this. This is a great comfort. Anything that you do or happens because of the curse, anything that Satan does, and obviously anything God directly does, God will use it all for our sanctification, for our growth, for our development into his language, everything. In fact, when I say everything, he will even take the consequences of your sin and turn it to good. Not that he wanted you to sin, but he will take those ramifications and use it as a trial to cause you to grow and to develop. So there's not one single item in your life that is occurring right now that's taken God by surprise and that he can't handle. He can manage everything. Now, folks, that's a comfort. Whether it's our stupidity, excuse the term, or it's directly God's providence, or it's the evil one, doesn't matter. What matters is that we count all joy when we fall into different trials, that we trust the Lord, that we do not allow ourselves to be cast down. And so as 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Now, this matter of praise and thankfulness gets down to the essence of belief. And let me just give you some practical thoughts here. Very, very possibly, and are probably already today, but something today is going to be frustrating, right? We're frustrating to ourselves, okay? You probably didn't do everything you wanted to do this morning, right? A little disappointed with yourself. And you know, today you could get whammed with something, you know, that you weren't expecting. Or tomorrow, or whatever. Here's a great habit. Stop right at the moment that you're overwhelmed. You can't help the first reaction. That's normal. Fear, panic, whatever. Ah! You know, you get a bad medical report. You get, all of a sudden, you realize some financial pressure. Or some goofy thing happened. Or, you know, you're hurt by somebody. Or just, you know, whatever. If you will, the minute you find yourself having that human reaction, I tell you, this is a discipline that will stand you in good stead. Stop and say, Lord, I trust you. don't understand right now why all this is happening, but I want to tell you right now, I praise you and I thank you and I believe you're going to take this and ultimately this is going to work out for good. That's a very important principle. See, what happens is, now I want you to get this, when you fall into pity, when you fall into fear, when you fall into reaction or bitterness towards somebody, at that moment, are you spirit-filled? Nope, you just lost your relationship with God. You're thanking God and telling Him you trust Him, and you're praising Him for who He is, get you back into a relationship with God. And when you have the Spirit of God in control in your heart, He gives you joy and peace. He gives you love for others that may have even hurt you. He totally changes the perception in your life right at that moment. We're talking instantaneously. But when you make the decision to be cast down, like David says, to be discouraged, what's the use? Why does this happen to me? You know, I'm a walking disaster. You know, I've got all these issues. The minute you make the decision to go that direction, you've lost God's power. And you may go for a period of time really being overwhelmed by the circumstance when God already is beginning to turn the circumstance to good if you will trust Him. In fact, let me just say, some of the greatest joy and peace you will ever have will be during the moments after a great disappointment where you make the decision to turn to God and you are flooded with Holy Spirit joy instead of human happiness. There is peace there. I tell you, some of the richest times in my life have been at the hardest times. But I chose at that time, by the grace of God, to look to Him and wow, you know, you get the right perspective. You're okay. It's a wonderful thing. Now, I've alluded to this and mentioned it, but this is one big part. I already said that the consequences from your own wrongdoing, when you get that right with God, the consequences He can turn to good also, even though He's not responsible for your sin, and the consequences are sad, He can turn that to good. Now here's the way we respond. We sin, we might even confess it, but then we get discouraged. You know, I'm just an idiot, you know. I don't know if there's much use for me. And Satan's coming along and saying, that's right, amen, you are an idiot, you know. And he loves to just tell you, you know, you just need to wallow in shame. The only way God's going to ever accept you again is for you to feel bad for the next several days. And so what it is a Christian purgatory or doing penance, you know. I've got to pay my dues until God will accept me again. So you go for 2 or 3 days just totally whipping yourself down and hoping God will accept you again. Well, that's great. During that time, you're not a very good wife. You're not a lousy mother. There's no blessing. You haven't led anybody to the Lord. You're just focused on who? Yourself. That's not God. That doesn't please God. Now, if you've sinned, get it right. And it may be tears when you get it right. It's okay. True repentance. But the minute you've confessed your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Accept the clean heart. Accept the fact that there will be some consequences probably from this, just the way the natural order of things is. But you are right now going to walk with God and trust Him, and whatever come, let it come, but you know God's going to use it for good. And so then you can have the power of God to be the wife you ought to be, the mother you ought to be, the Christian you ought to be. Satan just loves to get people in this cycle of guilt and then shame and then, and what happens? What happens when you're down? You go eat something you ought not eat, okay, right? You go turn the TV on, bad reaction. You go escape. You go shop. Well, that's really a bad one. Especially at this time of the year, you're a goner. You better have a good budget of what you're going to spend, period. But don't do that. Or who knows what. Get into a book, and books are fine. They're much better than watching something, but it can be something that won't necessarily edify you. And that's what happens. You go from guilt, don't get the guilt totally taken care of. It goes to shame, and it goes to escaping. And so Christians go through this whole cycle, and then they finally wake up, I need to start walking with God again, and then they lost 3 or 4 days. That could have been tremendously productive days in their life. So what's the key? Thank God and praise Him that you can trust Him. Aren't you thankful that He bore all your sins on Calvary? Aren't you thankful that He really cares about you, that He'll forgive you? It ought to grieve you that you've sinned against Him, but claim the clean heart, and the best thing you can do to glorify Him and thank Him is to keep right on going forward. And when maybe you said something, it's going to take a while to undo that with somebody you love. God will take all of that, and if you will walk with Him, He'll turn that to good, and it'll grow you and maybe that other person. You spend something you shouldn't spend. God may, through the consequences of what you did, He will teach you and help you and make you stronger for the future. If you are thanking Him, if you are trusting Him. You see, thankfulness and praise really is faith. It really is trust. It gets down to the core that we believe our God is involved in our lives. Personally, He's here right now. He cares about every little thing in my life. He's not distant up in heaven. He is in me if I'm a believer, and I can trust Him with all of my heart. And so we need to be praising Him for everything. We quoted Psalm 100, and she has it down here at Thanksgiving, as we always do, the great Thanksgiving Psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Now, just reading or hearing that, doesn't that comfort your heart? Yeah. Every time you read the Psalms, His mercy endureth forever. Be thankful unto Him. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Every time we read that, there is a stirring deep in our spirit that this is right, and this is what God wants me to, how He wants me to respond. So let me just ask you right now in a practical way, have you thanked God for everything right now in your life? Is there something right now maybe you're holding on to that you're frustrated with and you're not free? If you can't thank God, you're not free. You're not free. You're bound by it. You're being affected by it. You are not walking with God. You ought to be able to say, Lord, humanly, I don't like this, but I really thank You. I know You're going to use this in my life. I wouldn't have chosen this illness. I wouldn't have chosen this relationship issue. I wouldn't have chosen these set of circumstances. But Lord, I believe You. I tell you what, that's why, again, your hour with God in the morning is so important. There is something so freeing when I say, God, I praise You. I really do for everything. And there's always stuff I don't like. There's always stuff I wish I didn't have to deal with. But I believe God's going to use it. I was thinking about something the other day, and I remember thinking, Lord, how's this going to work out? And then just peace just rushed through my soul as I said, Lord, I choose to trust You. And it was just a huge amount of peace. I mean, I was just praising God, you know. Still haven't seen the answer to it yet, but God's going to do it. And we need to live always in anticipation that God's going to work. Might as well be joyful now for what He's going to do and joyful for what He has done. Live in anticipation of God's goodness. So, very important truth. It's all over Scripture, all over Scripture. And so I believe your time together here as tables will be very significant. Now, I want to make sure every table praises the Lord, okay? Do not get bogged down in problems. Everybody hear me, okay? So I'll come and check on you. I want these to be praise tables before it's all said and done. Everybody walk out of here with joy in your heart.